Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
This is completely BS. This is shame. They had to win tonight? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell. John Fricke's in for Mike today. NFL Blitz is on the way, and a big shout-out and thanks to Brett Boone for jumping on and talking some baseball with us. We'll see where the Braves go, man. I mean, look, my expectations have not changed whatsoever when it comes to the Braves about what I think they're capable of. When Spencer Strider went down, I said, okay, we can still do this. Ronald went down, I went, okay, we can still do this. But, guys, we just had 3 pitchers in the All-Star game. If you believe pitching wins, then you've got to buy into what you've seen so far with those guys and Sale and Freed and Ronaldo Lopez. And then, obviously, John, you know, you talk about the season that Ozuna's having. He's carrying us, but if he doesn't get any help, then there's no way we're going to get to where we need to be. The deal last year, right, was we had 4 or 5 guys doing this. And this year it's really Ozuna and kind of everybody else. So we'll see what happens in the second half. Have your expectations changed whatsoever? Mine have not.
No, and the reason they haven't changed is because of Double-A. And Double-A, look at the deal he made to get Chris Sale here. Vaughn Grissom has been awful. You think that the back, I mean, he went out and made those moves. How about Lopez bringing him into this mix here? So he's going to make some more moves. He's got some Midas touch. And, yeah, some of the moves he's made are – but I think that when people get mad, when fans get mad at the lack of production, and it's been a lack of production of Adam Duvall and Eddie Rosario, and they're like, hey, why don't you just go out and get every everybody? Hell, let's sign Andrew. Let's sign, you know, Javi Lopez. I understand that. But, you know, if you can put them in a position where they can help the team, which is on the bench as spot starters, as veterans, it improves your bench, and this is no offense to JP Martinez or Forrest Wall, but would you rather have those guys or Rosario and Duvall, who've been there and done that in clutch situations? Of course you would. Yeah. And so I think it's incumbent upon him to go out, get another outfielder, another corner outfielder, and then just have Chipper Jones or somebody. Look, I think Matt Olson's problems are this. All right, I go back to this, Carl. I want you to think about it. You think about Marcell Ozuna, and, you know, prior to this year, he would take his left arm when he was at home plate, right? And he would chicken wing and chicken wing and chicken wing, and then he'd get into the box. He stopped doing that. His hands, he doesn't chicken wing anymore. His hands are back and they're quiet. Meanwhile, Matt Olson's got the tip of that bat turned over, turned over, turned over. He's got to loop that bat all the way around to get back to a hitting position. I'm like, why aren't you working with this guy to get him to quit doing that and get that loop out of his swing and let him just start hitting? And so, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I know enough about baseball to be dangerous to myself. I think the Braves are going to be fine. And if they do go on a roll, God help the Phillies, because all this smack talk that their fans are talking is going to come back and bite them in the butt.
I hope it does. It is Dukes and Bell. This news just in, some NBA news. Clippers and Jazz have agreed to a sign and trade deal involving Russell Westbrook. He's expected to join the Nuggets after Utah waives him. Of course, former MVP, they bought him out. He is expected to join the Nuggets. So he will go from the Clippers. So the Clippers lose. They lose, Paul George. And now they lose Westbrook. Now, Westbrook was coming off the bench. But either way, 20, what do you have in 2023, 24? Averaged a career low 11 points a game for the Clippers. So he is expected to join the Nuggets. That news just coming in from the NBA. No Hawks news, by the way. Just letting you know. 404-726-0929. You can hit us up. Follow John. John, give him your social media handle, man.
Oh, yeah, it would be my name, at John Fricke, JohnFricke. Same on Facebook, same on X. I don't hide. I'm not one of these people who uses a sock puppet, but it's okay. If you do, it's all right. Fine.
Yeah, make sure you follow him, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the Dukes and Bell Show, of course, Dukes and Bell 929, and follow the radio station at 929 The Game. We got to talk some football, man. Let's get to an NFL. Blee!
Welcome to the NFL. news and notes from around the league. This is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
First and foremost, how excited are you about camp getting underway? Football is here, John. We're less than a week away now.
Next Wednesday. I am super excited. Unfortunately, of course, I'm not going to be able to see him at camp, which drives me nuts. But I'm so excited to see this team, and see the videos of them. And I can't wait for the preseason to start because so many new things and so much excitement around this team. And I think for a lot of good reasons, too. And six points better, Carl. If this team was 6 points a game better last year, they wouldn't have been 7-10. They'd be 12-5.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. I mean, it's hard to imagine because we all have this bad taste in our mouth, but you're absolutely right. Hey, one of the legends for the Dallas Cowboys says, just trade him. We're talking about Charles Haley. He was saying Jerry Jones basically has made all of these decisions over the years, and now it's come back to bite him.
He kept backloading everything. So now he's screwed. So now he, his bill came due, and he doesn't have the money to be able to do that. And so what he's going to have to do is he's going to have to find another way around the salary cap or push a lot of the older guys' salary cap way back. Mm-hmm. And then you don't know whether these guys going to play 1 year or 2 years and then all of it come due again. So he gambled a long time, and now time is up.
I love how Charles Haley said he's screwed. He's screwed. He tried to pay. He paid everybody back, paid everybody. Now he's screwed. This is also what he said, which has a lot of people talking. Just trade Dak. By the way, John, $60 million a year you're paying Dak or no?
Hell no. No.
This is Charles Haley.
I can tell you this. Trade Dak. Just put him up for the trade. Guess what? Every team in the league be after him.
Yeah.
Every team in the league. Dak is a winner. Dak is a great person, a great leader. I know him. I go up there all the time. CeeDee Lamb, quiet guy, leader. He wants the ball. He's a Jerry Rice. Just give it to me. I want it.
Yeah.
And so how do you not keep those guys together?
Okay. You trade him? What do you do?
No, I mean, I don't think they can. I don't think anybody wants that contract. I mean, walk me through. Besides his wedding ring, does Dak have a ring, or is that it?
That's it. And I don't even think he has a wedding ring. I think I want to say he's not married.
Oh, that's right. He's got a necklace and a chain from his old BFF, when they were, he and Zeke were like doing the whole necklace chain thing with each other. And yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I mean, look. I mean, they have problems in Dallas, and all I can tell you is if they do, too damn bad.
What about Deshaun Watson? He says he's doing well. Things look good. He's ready for camp, and so far, so good.
I've just been, taking it one day at a time. Everything's been, set in stone as far as just me going out there competing. There haven't been any setbacks or anything that's holding me back from, going forward from so far.
Tell me right now, John Fricke, what kind of season is Deshaun Watson going to have this year?
Well, it doesn't really matter. I mean, because unfortunately for him, and it's the same is true of these Steelers fans that I was talking to over the weekend here, they're in a division with Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. I mean, that's the problem here. You could be really good and still be 7-10. You know what I mean? I mean, so until you figure that out, The Browns aren't a bad team. The Steelers aren't a bad team. They're good teams. They just happen to be in the wrong division where both of them could go like 1-5 or something like that.
Well, I think
because the first two teams are really good.
And you're right about that division. I think it's the toughest division in football. But here's the deal. It matters because he's got $250 guaranteed. I mean, it matters because they dropped all this coin on him, and he's not done anything.
Change.
This is going to be the
biggest.
This is going to be.
Thank God we avoided
well,
that.
Well, yeah, but we didn't know how this was going to shake out. But if in fact Deshaun Watson does not do anything this year, this is arguably going down as the worst trade in the history of NFL. I mean, seriously, like they went to the playoffs without him last year. If he's healthy,
oh, man,
I think
that's worse than Herschel.
I think he does.
Wow.
I think he lives up to it if healthy this season. But if he doesn't, dude, we're talking about going on year four.
I'm not arguing. Look, there's no argument here. I mean, yeah, this is why you have to be careful. I think the Falcons are kind of looking at it this way, too. I think that the way Terry Fontenot views football here is look, the great general managers get rid of a player the year before he goes over the top. I mean, you'll trade a guy, he'll have a great year, and your fans will go, I can't believe you got rid of him. And then the next year, right off the, okay, thank God we got rid of that guy. So you try and gauge when is he going to peak, and you want to get rid of him a year before he peaks because he still has all that value, and then he becomes somebody else's problem after that. So when you start to pay players, this is the problem that these holdouts are going to have here. Alvin Kamara is going to have a problem. Tristan Wirfs down in Tampa is going to have a problem. Ayuk's going to have a problem. CeeDee Lamb's going to have a problem. They all want to get paid $30 million a year. Well, you know, you start investing that kind of money in guys that aren't quarterbacks, and the next thing you know, you've got five guys that are making $30 million. It's the Falcons for life thing that the Falcons got into, where you got three or four guys making a whole bunch of money, and you got nothing else.
So Brandon Ayuk is 26 years old. We talked about this on the podcast today, Inside the Huddle. Wherever you get your podcast, check it out as we talk all things NFL. And here's the deal. That's the market, John. I agree with you. Like, if we had to make that decision and we were running the Falcons, I'm not making that decision to pay both of my wide receivers $30 million. If I had to pay one of them, okay, great, but he better be outstanding, elite, and one of the top three receivers in the league. But Brandon Ayuk put up career numbers last year, 75 balls, over 1,300 yards. He is in that class of 28 to 32 million, 35, whatever the going rate is. I'm not saying I would give it to him, but somebody's going to.
Oh, somebody's going to. Yeah, sure, of course they are. Not the Niners, and they're not going to trade him either, so I don't know what's going to happen there. I think they're going to let him play out his contract, $14 million, and they're just going to kind of let him go. But you can pay Justin Jefferson $140 million, but when you got the guys throwing the ball to him that aren't named Kirk Cousins, they may find out in a big hurry that it doesn't much matter. Wide receivers are only as good as your quarterback.
Well, I'll say this. He has put his foot down and demanded a trade from the 49ers. I don't know if that gets him there, but he's starting.
Yeah, probably doesn't.
But he's starting to act as if, hey, if you're not going to trade me, then I'm not going to be playing. And we'll see. To your point, these holdouts, they're going to be interesting. Hey, it's our NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Coming up, Kalen DeBoer. Napier. All these guys spoke on Wednesday. The latest comments from the SEC Media Days next.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Just got word that we may get a chance to talk to Steve Koonin today and not tomorrow. He's got some stuff going on, so I said, let's do it today. So, John, we might get a chance to talk to the Hawks CEO a little bit later on in the show. We'll give you an exact time coming up, but he'll move from tomorrow to today. By the way, John Fricke's in for Mike today. It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, man, no man's coming up. Always got that for us. Also, we're going to talk to our buddy Drew Butler from the Steakhouse and get his take on all the things that have happened with SEC Media Days. I asked you to start, you know, what stood out to you, and you were talking about Texas, and people are tired of Texas already, and they haven't even played a game, technically, in the SEC. What did you hear Kalen DeBoer's comments yesterday? What did you think? Because I think he's a very good coach. I really do. But I don't know what he's going to do at Alabama. I don't know if anybody can truly project and say, because Alabama was good with Nick Saban, that they're going to be good with Kalen DeBoer. You think that they're recruiting well, and it looks that way. But go ahead, John. Tell me what you think about what you heard yesterday.
All right, well, let's just look back on Kalen DeBoer. All right, so he's the offensive coordinator at Indiana. He's got a quarterback for 3 years named Michael Penix that the head coach wants to use as a running quarterback. He keeps getting injured. Kalen DeBoer then becomes the head coach of Washington, takes the Michael Penix guy from Indiana with him and reinvents him into a pocket quarterback, and here he is, right? So, look, he's a very good coach. An exceptionally good coach. And so I look at Kalen DeBoer and think he's going to do good things at Alabama, but there's one small problem here, or one small kind of concern. So I'm going to take you back to 1989, Carl.
Okay.
In 1989, John Forney passes. He is the legendary, like John Ward at Tennessee or Larry Munson at Georgia, John Forney was to Alabama. They fly two people in to interview for the job, myself and another guy. I get into Tuscaloosa, and I'm walking around the, you know, Bear Bryant Hall and all this kind of stuff, and they introduce me to the new head coach because they just hired Gene Stallings, and I'm asking people about, I'm 29 years old, and they're telling me these stories about John Forney, and as I kind of go with her the day, I got back on the plane to come back to Atlanta and said, there's no way in hell I'm going to try and replace a legend like John Forney because I'll never be anything remotely close to John Forney. I can't do it. So instead they hired the other guy who turned out to be Eli Gold. Which they went from legend to legend.
They did.
So
they
good did. For Eli.
Yes. And he had a great career. I mean, he's had a great career at Alabama.
Oh.
That's unbelievable. But to your point, you're comparing DeBoer to that story to Saban?
Well, if Saban had left, okay, you know, God forbid, I don't know why I'm to die. Man's got a statue. If he had left and gone up to his, you know, Oconee or whatever the heck he's got a place up there in the North Georgia Mountains and just fished and stayed out of it, instead, he's got an office right next to DeBoer. So those two, they leave the office today, right? And they're going down to the palatial, and it probably is palatial at Alabama, coaches and athletic, you know, their commissary, which is only for the, you know, highfalutin out there, you know, everything you could possibly imagine. And they're walking down the hall, and a couple of players from this year's team are walking towards them, and the players say, "Hey, coach," who are they talking to?
Yeah, I don't want to say that Kalen DeBoer is going to be a puppet. That's not fair to him. He got hired to be the head coach. To have Nick Saban around is a great resource. But how much is he going to be around? How much is he going to have a say in what's going on or recommendations or whatever it may come to? I want you to hear a couple of things from him yesterday. Because we talked a lot about it, and a lot of Alabama fans were like, "Oh, you're just hating." And no, I just felt like, listen, we're not debating his coaching acumen. What I'm telling you is I thought he would come in with a little more gravitas and say, "Hey, I'm glad to be here, and let me tell you what's going to be going on." I didn't feel that way. It was more of, "Hey, you know I'm taking over Saban, and boy, I feel good about it." I mean, it was like, come on, coach, we know you know Nick Saban. We get it. We understand the shoes that you're stepping into. So this was a soundbite we played yesterday. John, this is what I want you to react to. This is DeBoer thanking Saban for the foundation he built. And it was, you know, again, we know this already.
Yeah, you know, I get it. I totally get it. Understand, I mean, there's only one Coach Saban. There will only ever be one Coach Saban. And, you know, this program is special. And I guess I just take it as a great honor to be the one that gets to do everything we can to carry on the great tradition. So much blood, sweat, and tears, whether it's the players and the alumni that have been in this program or coaches, and obviously referring to Coach Saban, so much is put into this place. We all have alma maters, right? We all have places that we have great pride in, and you always want that to be home, and we always want to make those people proud of their alma mater and the work that's been put in to set this program up for success. But for me personally, it was just more about just understanding that, you know, coaching football is coaching football to some.
Is that the case?
Yeah, well, and it is. Well, you know, here's the thing.
Is it?
I've been wrong before.
Is coaching football at Nebraska the same as it is at the University of Tulsa? Is it?
Well, I mean, I think what he's trying to say is, it's not, but because he doesn't understand the culture. You know, of course, he's going to learn the culture. And that's the point I was telling you about my story was I got a sense of the culture there, and you were either going to be deep red crimson Alabama, deep crimson, or you probably didn't belong there. And I went, yeah, I probably don't belong here. Yeah, that's what he's going to run up against. But then again, I thought that Brian Kelly, when he left Notre Dame and went to LSU, that was going to be a massive fail of, yeah. And look at what it's turned out to be. And so at times, you know, I thought Jimbo Fisher going, well, that's going to be a success. So, you know, you can't always know as to what's going to happen in terms of a new hire of a head coach. Everybody gets good ones. Everybody gets bad ones. I'm not saying Kalen DeBoer is going to be bad. He may be very good. But the problem is he's never going to be Nick Saban because what he's walking into is Hugh Freeze at Auburn. Kirby Smart's really entrenched himself now. Josh Heupel has entrenched himself at Tennessee. You got Texas into the league, Oklahoma. I don't know what's going to happen with Ole Miss moving forward with Lane Kiffin. I only say that because because at some point I think Lane Kiffin's going to go, I need something else here, because he's going to hit a ceiling. But it's going to be immeasurably more difficult for Alabama to be Alabama of the Nick Saban era. They may win a national title or two, but it's not going to be the same thing, because it's just going to be so much more difficult. That's going to be kind of unfair to Kellen DeBoer.
You're right. And this is why I said about taking it to the next level. Listen, anybody moving forward from this point on, whether it's 12, 16, 18, 24, whatever the number is, as we continue to expand college football and the playoff, it's becoming more difficult. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it was easy during the BCS, but it was easier. It was easier. And it's going to become more difficult. And here's the other thing about Alabama, as we're talking about Kellen DeBoer, and we'll let you hear a little bit later about some of the other coaches as SEC Media Days have wrapped up in Dallas. Everybody had a chance to grab the mic today, and Hugh Freeze spoke, and we'll let you hear a little bit of that. But last year, just to use this as an example, John, when Kellen DeBoer was in Washington, they passed the ball 38 times per game. Are you throwing the ball 38 times per game at Alabama? Are you throwing it 40 times a game at Alabama?
And what of the defense, too? I mean, really, everybody talks about Alabama and the offense, and they focus on, you know, what Saban was able to do, you know, at running back, at quarterback, wide receiver, and good Lord knows they have put out wide receiver after wide receiver after wide receiver. Great skill position talent. What they discount is how good Alabama was on defense, and why did Alabama slip a little bit below Georgia, even though I know they beat them in the SEC title game last year, was because their defense kind of that was down just a tick from what it had been during their glory days, when their defense was just
lights out.
Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John in for Mike today as we're talking some college football and just coming off some comments from the SEC media days. And I do think you're right. Somebody said to me, well, what if DeBoer, you know, ends up being better than Saban? Well, what's better?
What's better?
Like, to win in this era or this landscape of college football sets him apart, because whoever wins this first expanded college football playoff, you know, it puts them in a different category because nobody's ever done it. But, you know, when you start talking about better, now we're saying you're winning multiples in this new landscape, which will continue to change. Guys, everybody's going to love this 12-team thing, John, and watch. It's going to be 16. And then it's going to be 18.
Oh, it's going to be 16. It's going to be 16. It'll be 16 soon.
And because everybody's going to love it. So when it happens, however it plays out, it becomes more difficult. I agree with your assessment. He could win a couple of championships at Alabama, which would be great, but it's going to be more difficult to put the run together that Coach Saban did under the rules in which he played under. And again, we're not even talking about NIL or the portal and how that still doesn't have any guidelines or guardrails for that matter. All these coaches are talking about the same thing, so you're dealing with all of that. This is a new world when it comes to college football. And whoever comes out victorious, if Georgia or whether it's Texas, pick your team, okay? It's going to be pretty special because nobody's done it like this with 12 teams involved in a playoff. And the fact that your season is as long as it's ever been in college football.
Well, Nick Saban had the obviously it was a juggernaut, you can argue he's the greatest coach in the history of the game. I still think that's Eddie Robinson, but that's a personal opinion.
And that's fair. That's a great fair.
Yeah, I've always thought that. But anyway, there would always be a team, right? I mean, it would be LSU. It would be Auburn when Cam was there. It would be Florida on a number of occasions. Maybe Georgia. There was always a team that would have a really good year, and he'd have to go through that team. But it was always just one, okay? Now you've got to navigate your way through four, five, six teams because everything's gotten much more difficult. Again, the consolidation is you just took the, 10 best, it's like taking the 10 best NFL teams and putting them in their own division. And, you're suddenly not playing the Carolina Panthers anymore. It becomes much more difficult. That's why I tell you, wrap your brain around 10-2 is a great year. And I don't know if Alabama fans can do that. And until they do that, Kellen DeBoer is never going to get a fair shake.
All right, we've got a lot more to get to. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. Big O's got that for us. Drew Butler's going to join us at 4 o'clock. We'll talk to him about all this in Georgia as well here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're going to talk to our buddy Drew Butler at 4 o'clock about the Dawgs. Stay tuned for that. Also, we are going to talk to Steve Kuhner today. He normally joins us on Fridays. Got some stuff going on Friday. So we're going to talk to him at 6:20 tonight here on the show about the Hawks and the NBA. John, by the way, real quick before we get to Big O, these NBA contracts, everybody keeps saying TNT is going to be in it, and I guess they're going to match the Amazon deal is what I'm hearing. But nobody's confirming anything, which – again, what's that mean? That we see, the TNT guys once a week? I mean, what are we talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, these television deals are going to get so scattershot. I was adding it up the other day, and in order to watch the NFL and college football this year, I need 19 different networks.
What?
19. 19.
That's crazy.
I know. But I need 8 to watch the Big Ten alone. I mean, so... yeah, it's just going to be so, and that's
wait
not even
minute,
counting
wait a
streaming.
Everything's not on the Big Ten Network?
No, I'm going to need NBC, I'm going to need Peacock, CBS, CBS Sports Network, Fox, FS1, Big Ten Network, and Big Ten Network Plus.
Wow. Yeah, because I'm thinking...
Because Nebraska's going to be on all those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm thinking Big Ten, but they have the Big Ten Plus. You're right about that. By the way, I don't sleep on Nebraska. I think they're going to be decent this year. I think they're going to be decent.
Yeah, they could be.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on how good is Dylan Raiola really... I mean, I don't want to look at a spring game. I think, you know, Dylan Raiola is going to be really, really frigging good. But we'll see. I mean, it really depends on him.
I agree.
To a great degree.
More college football on the way with Drew Butler right now. Let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
Turtle is out. He will have the night show tonight, which means Big O. Orn has got Yeah Man, No Man. We say, hey, man, get some Hey Man Ale, the original blonde ale, 5% alcohol. You can get it anywhere around the state of Georgia, especially at any Publix. Just ask for it, guys. They will get it to you and any package store as well. And try the watermelon lime as well. Big O, what's going on today, man? How you doing? Happy Thursday.
I'm a little tired this morning. This afternoon, Carl. Woke up this morning, and normally I don't look at my phone. I just kind of keep my phone off to the side. And when I wake up, I'll look at it. But just kind of rolled over and was like, oh, just let me check my phone for a second. Just had a weird feeling. See an email courtesy of the good folks at Peacock.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Peacock, what's this? Notification of a price increase starting today.
I saw it too.
And I went, wait, what? So, yeah, good old Peacock, right before the Olympics kick in, right before we get into the NFL season, going to pay a little bit more. You get the high quality
what did it
programming
go up?
From Peacock, depending on the.
So I'm sure my wife got that. That got one too. She didn't tell me about it, but I'm sure she got it too.
Oh, what I'm sure she's not going to.
So as of July 18th, new customers will pay $8 more for Peacock Premium, $14 more for Peacock Premium Plus.
This is getting to be stupid beyond stupid. But I'm sorry, it's getting to be.
But people are gonna. You're gonna do it, John. You're gonna
do
it.
Of course they are.
I love The Office.
Now, correct
me.
Correct me if I'm wrong. All right, I haven't looked at the deal completely. Maybe we'll ask Steve Kuhner this. Because isn't Peacock where they're going to put the NBA?
I think Peacock is one of their streaming options, yeah. I'm not sure what game. Because they're doing, Sundays? And then I think it's like a Thursday or a Friday night game they're doing to NBC in their new media rights.
So, yeah. So NBC gets the deal. Peacock is NBC. They get this NBA deal and immediately jack the rates. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, NBA games.
Do we hit some kind of wall? Is there a ceiling here where? And I'm not saying that there's a public outcry on the X there, Carl and Oren. I'm not saying that people. I demand. That people just say, you know what? I think I'm out, and all of a sudden their subscriber numbers
John,
just kind of drop.
They're gonna beam it directly into your brain. That's the next step. It's going to shoot a laser with Peacock right into your forehead.
I got you. We're not talking Allen Iverson. All right, I got you. Yeah.
No, that's the next step, John.
I'm with
direct
you.
Direct to consumer.
Yeah. If you're asking me, and I know you are, or no, man, I don't like this. I got the same notification.
No,
it's so
either.
Funny that you brought this up. And it was one of those emails where you say, like, Peacock, click on. Yeah. And then it had the rates. And I don't even know what – I'll be honest with you.
I don't know what package I have either.
You know, but see, I can't tell either. But, you know, look, boxing destroyed itself. by going to pay-per-view. I understand they made a lot of money, but they eventually they destroyed themselves.
Direct
walk down the street
to,
and ask 10 sports fans
to customer, to name. Direct to customer.
Yeah, but ask ten guys at the local bar to name you the heavyweight champion of the world.
Oh, they can't.
You know,
I don't know.
Right. And it used to be everybody knew everything about boxing, right? And now you can't. No, I don't. Beats the hell out of me. You know, some dude over some dude. I mean, the only is it Tyson fighting? That's all they know.
Yeah.
Right. You know. I mean.
Yeah.
So.
But
Major League Soccer.
But
has
you,
Major League Soccer done damage to its brand with this Apple TV deal?
Not according to Garth Lagerwey and company. I mean, they're saying they're seeing results with the growth. Now, I'm glad you brought this up because, John, we got to talk about what we saw last night, and we will. It was a great match for Atlanta United. It was a draw, but at the end of the day, like, nobody was there. And I don't care what anybody says, nobody was there. But here's what I was going to say about boxing. John, the UFC is taking over, man. I mean, you may not dig it, but UFC is taking that space where boxing was, right? Is now UFC. And if you're into it, and a lot of guys are, and I love getting the matches, but that's the thing. Like, what did they do? Why did they do it right and boxing did it wrong? They're direct to consumer. They have a deal with ESPN, but that's fairly recent. I mean, UFC grew over the years because it was compelling. The fights were interesting. So I agree with you, but it's like, that's not the only reason. Boxing screwed itself because they never gave us the matches. UFC doesn't clown around. Like, you're champ, you're fighting, right? And we get the better matches. All right, Big O, what else you got working?
ESPN, I don't know if you guys have seen this. We're in list season right now. Good old list season. And ESPN, they got a doozy of a list here. They ranked the top 100 pro athletes of the 21st century. The top 100 pro athletes. Their top 10 list is as follows. We'll start one and go down. Number one, Michael Phelps. Number two, Serena.
Mm.
Number three, Lionel Messi. Number four, LeBron. Number five, Brady. Number six, Roger Federer. Number seven, Simone Biles. Number eight, Tiger Woods. Number nine, Usain Bolt. And number 10, Kobe Bryant. That's their top 10. There's an athlete out there, or should I say athletes, I'm doing quotation marks here, who took umbrage with this list. One, Ric Flair. Ric Flair tweeted out yesterday, how in the hell on God's green earth is Ric Flair not considered to be one of the top 100 athletes in the world? I should actually be in the top 10. 16 world titles, actually 22. 1,200-hour matches. 15 years without a day off. A cultural icon and worldwide sensation. There's a problem, though. Ric is encompassing his entire career in this. This list is athletes of the 21st century. This is a 24-year list. So Ric apparently has a problem with the fact that he's not included. But Ric, like, your career after 2000, buddy, I don't know if it qualifies you. I don't know if your career from like 1970s qualifies you as the top 10 here. But so two-parter. Yeah, man, no, man, that top 10 list. And yeah, man, no, man, Ric Flair not being included in that top 10 list.
John, you have any issues with the top 10?
No, I don't necessarily. I'm a little surprised Michael Phelps might be number one. Okay. I mean, I understand what the parameters are. I mean, but still, at the same time, it's, you know, a fairly limited, you know, body of work. And I don't mean that in any, you know, stretch here. It's, but he's great. So I mean, if they sat down, I hadn't sat down and figured it out, I still think I'd probably go, well, isn't it Tom Brady? But I mean, whatever their criteria was, I understand. Okay. So we'll just go with that. Ric Flair, I just think Rick's having fun. We all love him. Who doesn't love Ric Flair? So, I mean, It's okay. By the way, is Ric Flair? How about you do? See, I'm not John Chuckery, so I don't know these things. Who, if you rank, who's like the number one wrestler of all time? Who would be number one?
You got to do it by eras. So you got like pre-attitude era.
You can't just do Hulk or his number one or
it's wrestling is divided into so many eras.
Yeah, I would say, but here's what I would tell you. Just like with Michael Jordan and the marketing arm of what happened with Michael Jordan and how it expanded him. Hulk got that with WWE at the right time.
He did.
And that is why he's considered to be the star that changed wrestling, is because it was a time in which he got in where they were expanding, and then you had obviously WrestleMania and all the things that started just taking off. Timing, man. Timing. Right. So I'm not going to tell you he's the best, but he definitely changed the course of wrestling. So that's an interesting list, though, John. I'm with you on that. I think that'd be fun. But Ric Flair, man, everybody thinks the world of you. Nobody doesn't think that you're one of the best.
He is what?
What the hell was that, John Fricky?
He said, "Ooh."
I don't know. It was a bad Ric Flair. Yeah. I can't do the Ric Flair.
Flair is what? Okay. 75
now. He's in his mid-70s.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah. 73, 75, somewhere around there. All right.
All right, last one here, guys. We're talking about SEC Media Days and the guys talking.
And by the way, I don't have a problem with that list either because lists are always subjective. For me, Kobe would be higher.
Gotcha.
But outside of that, I don't have a problem with it.
Gotcha. Sam Pittman, been on the hot seat right now. So the Arkansas Razorbacks have embraced a new mantra to kind of help them through this season. So Captain Slogan, as we like to call Dan Quinn here, a little bit has rubbed off now on Sam Pittman. So let's listen to this new mantra for Arkansas.
Our focus is to embrace the hog, which means we need to be tough. We need to be together. We need to be consistent, accountable, and do it with pride.
Yeah, man, no, man. Embracing the hog.
That's the mantra?
That's the mantra. Embrace the hog.
Well, I tell you what they're going to embrace. They're going to embrace the bacon, okay? Because the bacon is Tyson Foods. And I don't mean that just because Tyson makes bacon. It's Jerry Jones and it's Wally World. Because Tyson Foods, Jerry Jones, and Walmart are all from Northwest Arkansas. And as a result, they're going to pour more money than God into that hog. They're going to feed that hog. And Arkansas are going to try and buy. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big, big, big. Yep.
Well, listen, that's how Cal got there, right? I mean, let's be honest.
Exactly.
And I don't think they're going to be, you know, falling off anytime soon in basketball. I'm with
Sam
you.
Sam goes
this.
Out. I'm telling you who the next coach, Urban Meyer is going to be coaching Arkansas. I'm telling you, Urban Meyer is going to be coaching Arkansas.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. And we like Sam Pittman. He's done. I think, listen, he's one of these guys. He's likable. We know he can recruit, but he's got to win this year. And the problem. We're going to talk to our buddy Drew Butler at 4 o'clock about the dogs. Stay tuned for that. Also, we are going to talk to Steve Kuhner today. He normally joins us on Fridays, got some stuff going on Friday. So we're going to talk to him at 6:20 tonight here on the show about the Hawks and the NBA. John, by the way, real quick before we get to Big O, these NBA contracts, everybody keeps saying TNT is going to be in it, and I guess they're going to match the Amazon deal is what I'm hearing. But nobody's confirming anything, which – again, what's that mean? That we see, the TNT guys once a week? I mean, what are we talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, these television deals are going to get so scattershot. I was adding it up the other day, and in order to watch the NFL and college football this year, I need 19 different networks.
What?
19. 19.
That's crazy.
I know. But I need 8 to watch the Big Ten alone. I mean, so... yeah, it's just going to be so, and that's
wait
not even
minute,
counting
wait a
streaming.
Minute. Everything's not on the Big Ten Network?
No, I'm going to need NBC, I'm going to need Peacock, CBS, CBS Sports Network, Fox, FS1, Big Ten Network, and Big Ten Network Plus.
Wow. Yeah, because I'm thinking...
Because Nebraska's going to be on all those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm thinking Big Ten, but they have the Big Ten Plus. You're right about that. By the way, I don't sleep on Nebraska. I think they're going to be decent this year. I think they're going to be decent.
Yeah, they could be.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on how good... Is Dylan Raiola really... I mean, I don't want to look at a spring game. I think, you know, Dylan Raiola is going to be really, really frigging good. But we'll see. I mean, it really depends on him.
I agree.
To a great degree.
More college football on the way with Drew Butler right now. Let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
Turtle is out. He will have the night show tonight, which means Big O. Orn has got Yeah Man, No Man. We say, hey, man, get some Hey Man Ale, the original blonde ale, 5% alcohol. You can get it anywhere around the state of Georgia, especially at any Publix. Just ask for it, guys. They will get it to you and any package store as well. And try the watermelon lime as well. Big O, what's going on today, man? How you doing? Happy Thursday.
I'm a little tired this morning. This afternoon, Carl. Woke up this morning, and normally I don't look at my phone. I just kind of keep my phone off to the side. And when I wake up, I'll look at it. But just kind of rolled over and was like, oh, just let me check my phone for a second. Just had a weird feeling. See an email courtesy of the good folks at Peacock.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Peacock. What's this? notification of a price increase starting today.
I saw it too.
And I went, wait, what? So, yeah, good old Peacock, right before the Olympics kick in, right before we get into the NFL season, going to pay a little bit more to get the high quality
programming
from Peacock. Depending on the
So I'm sure my wife got that. That got one, too. She didn't tell me about it, but I'm sure she got it, too.
I'm sure she's not going to.
So, as of July 18th, new customers will pay $8 more for Peacock Premium, $14 more for Peacock Premium Plus.
This is getting to be stupid beyond stupid. It's getting to be.
But people are going to. You're going to do it, John. You're going to do it.
Of course they are.
I love The Office.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. All right, I haven't looked at the deal completely. Maybe we'll ask Steve Coonan this. Because isn't Peacock where they're going to put the NBA?
I think Peacock is one of their streaming options, yeah. I'm not sure what game. Because they're doing, Sundays? And then I think it's like a Thursday or a Friday night game they're doing to NBC in their new media rights.
So NBC gets the deal. Peacock is NBC. They get this NBA deal and immediately jack the rates. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, NBA games.
Do we hit some kind of wall? Is there a ceiling here where? And I'm not saying that there's a public outcry on the X there, Carl and Oren. I'm not saying that people are, that people just say, you know what, I think I'm out, and all of a sudden their subscriber numbers just kind of drop.
They're gonna beam it directly into your brain. That's the next step. It's going to shoot a laser with Peacock right into your forehead.
We're not talking Allen Iverson. All right, I got you. Yeah.
No, that's the next step, John.
I'm with
direct to consumer.
Yeah. If you're asking me, and I know you are, I don't like this. I got the same notification.
No,
it's so funny that you brought this up. And it was one of those emails where you say, like, Peacock, click on. Yeah. And then it had the rates. And I don't even know what – I'll be honest with you.
I don't know what package I have either.
You know, but see, I can't tell either. But, you know, look, boxing destroyed itself by going to pay-per-view. I understand they made a lot of money, but they eventually destroyed themselves.
Direct to customer.
Yeah, but ask ten guys at the local bar to name you the heavyweight champion of the world.
Oh, they can't.
No. Right. And it used to be everybody knew everything about boxing, right? And now you can't. No, I don't. Beats the hell out of me. You know, some dude over some dude. I mean, the only is it Tyson fighting? That's all they know.
Yeah.
Right. You know. I mean.
Yeah.
So.
Major
League Soccer.
But
has Major League Soccer done damage to its brand with this Apple TV deal?
Not according to Garth Lagaway and company. I mean, they're saying they're seeing results with the growth. Now, I'm glad you brought this up because, John, we got to talk about what we saw last night, and we will. It was a great match for Atlanta United. It was a draw, but at the end of the day, like, nobody was there. And I don't care what anybody says, nobody was there. But here's what I was going to say about boxing. John, the UFC is taking over, man. I mean, you may not dig it, but UFC is taking that space where boxing was, right? Is now UFC. And if you're into it, and a lot of guys are, and I love getting the matches, but that's the thing. Like, what did they do? Why did they do it right and boxing did it wrong? They're direct to consumer. They have a deal with ESPN, but that's fairly recent. I mean, UFC grew over the years because it was compelling. The fights were interesting. So I agree with you, but it's like, that's not the only reason. Boxing screwed itself because they never gave us the matches. UFC doesn't clown around. Like, you're champ, you're fighting, right? And we get the better matches. All right, Big O, what else you got working?
ESPN, I don't know if you guys have seen this. We're in list season right now. Good old list season. And ESPN, they got a doozy of a list here. They ranked the top 100 pro athletes of the 21st century. The top 100 pro athletes. Their top 10 list is as follows. We'll start one and go down. Number one, Michael Phelps. Number two, Serena.
Mm.
Number three, Lionel Messi. Number four, LeBron. Number five, Brady. Number six, Roger Federer. Number seven, Simone Biles. Number eight, Tiger Woods. Number nine, Usain Bolt. And number 10, Kobe Bryant. That's their top 10. There's an athlete out there, or should I say athletes, I'm doing quotation marks here, who took umbrage with this list. One, Ric Flair. Ric Flair tweeted out yesterday, how in the hell on God's green earth is Ric Flair not considered to be one of the top 100 athletes in the world? I should actually be in the top 10. 16 world titles, actually 22. 1,200-hour matches. 15 years without a day off. A cultural icon and worldwide sensation. There's a problem, though. Rick is encompassing his entire career in this. This list is athletes of the 21st century. Mm. This is a 24-year list. So Rick apparently has a problem with the fact that he's not included. But Rick, like, your career after 2000, buddy, I don't know if it qualifies you. I don't know if your career from like 1970s qualifies you as the top 10 here. But so two-parter. Yeah, man, no, man, that top 10 list. And yeah, man, no, man, Ric Flair not being included in that top 10 list.
John, you have any issues with the top 10?
No, I don't necessarily. I'm a little surprised Michael Phelps might be number one. Okay. I mean, I understand what the parameters are. I mean, but still, at the same time, it's, you know, a fairly limited, you know, body of work. And I don't mean that in any, you know, stretch here. It's, but he's great. So I mean, if they sat down, I hadn't sat down and figured it out, I still think I'd probably go, well, is it a Tom Brady? But I mean, whatever their criteria was, I understand. Okay. So we'll just go with that. Ric Flair, I just think Rick's having fun. We all love him. Who doesn't love Ric Flair? So, I mean, It's okay. By the way, is Ric Flair, how about you do, see, I'm not John Chuckery, so I don't know these things. Who, if you rank, who's like the number one wrestler of all time? Who would be number one?
You got to do it by eras. So you got like pre-attitude era.
You can't just do Hulk or his number one or.
It's wrestling is divided into too many eras.
Yeah, I would say, but here's what I would tell you. Just like with Michael Jordan and the marketing arm of what happened with Michael Jordan and how it expanded him. Hulk got that with WWE at the right time.
He did.
And that is why he's considered to be the star that changed wrestling, is because it was a time in which he got in where they were expanding, and then you had obviously WrestleMania and all the things that started just taking off. Timing, man. Timing. Right. So I'm not going to tell you he's the best, but he definitely changed the course of wrestling. So that's an interesting list, though, John. I'm with you on that. I think that'd be fun. But Ric Flair, man, everybody thinks the world of you. Nobody doesn't think that you're one of the best. He is what now?
What the hell was that, John Fricky?
He said, "Ooh."
I don't know. It was a bad Ric Flair. Woo. Yeah. I can't do the Ric Flair.
Woo,
Flair
is what? Okay. 75
now. He's in his mid-70s.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah. 73, 75, somewhere around there. All right,
last one here, guys. We're talking about SEC Media Days and the guys talking.
And by the way, I don't have a problem with that list either, because lists are always subjective. For me, Kobe would be higher.
Gotcha.
But outside of that, I don't have a problem with it.
Gotcha. Sam Pittman, been on the hot seat right now. So the Arkansas Razorbacks have embraced a new mantra to kind of help them through this season. So Captain Slogan, as we like to call Dan Quinn here, a little bit has rubbed off now on Sam Pittman. So let's listen to this new mantra for Arkansas.
Our focus is to embrace the hog, which means we need to be tough. We need to be together. We need to be consistent, accountable, and do it with pride.
Yeah, man, no, man. Embracing the hog.
That's the mantra?
That's the mantra. Embrace the hog.
Well, I tell you what they're going to embrace. They're going to embrace the bacon, okay? Because the bacon is Tyson Foods. And I don't mean that just because Tyson makes bacon. It's Jerry Jones and it's Wally World. Because Tyson Foods, Jerry Jones, and Walmart are all from Northwest Arkansas. And as a result, they're going to pour more money than God into that hog. They're going to feed that hog. And Arkansas are going to try and buy. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big, big, big. Yep.
Well, listen, that's how Cal got there, right? I mean, let's be honest.
Exactly.
And I don't think they're going to be, you know, falling off anytime soon in basketball. I'm with
Sam
you on
goes
this.
Out. I'm telling you who the next coach, Urban Meyer is going to be coaching Arkansas. I'm telling you, Urban Meyer is going to be coaching Arkansas.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. And we like Sam Pittman. He's done. I think, listen, he's one of these guys. He's likable. We know he can recruit, but he's got to win this year. And the problem is, I don't think he's going to win that many games. I don't think he's going to win enough, John. I don't.
Four. Mm-mm. Yeah, I think he's going to get fired.
He's not winning. Yeah.
Hey, look, Sam's going to go.
Is he winning eight games in this SEC? He's not winning eight games in this SEC. No way.
No, he's not winning. He's not winning five. What are you talking about?
No way.
That team's not going to be they're not going to be any good. And so, and it's just not Sam's fault. Is the money people haven't really thrown the money in. They're throwing it into Cal. They will throw it at Urban Meyer. Urban, what do you need? You know, and then because they're going to go out and buy a coach just like they did Cal. Mark my words, that's what they're going to do. So they're kind of selling out Sam a little bit, but Sam's going to be fine. He's a great offensive line coach. He's going to leave Arkansas. He's going to have offer after offer to come be an offensive line coach in the NFL and at major college football.
Here's one other thing. We hadn't even talked about this. We'll talk with Drew Butler. Billy Napier quoted Bible scripture today when talking about the Gators. Talking about the upcoming season and his faith in the program. That tells you everything you need to know about Napier potentially losing his gig, entering his third season. So I wanted to hear what Napier had to say today, and what I got was a lot of this was yesterday, a lot of, I guess, naysaying from the standpoint of do you fully buy in and believe that Billy Napier is going to turn this thing around? And I don't even know if he thinks he's going to turn it around. So, anyways, we'll get into it. Drew Butler's coming up. Big O, we got to get out of here, man. Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. John Fricke's in for Mike. Also, we're going to talk to Steve Coonan today. He normally joins us on Fridays. He's going to stop by in the 6 o'clock hour. But when we come back, we'll get Drew Butler's thoughts on what happened this week with the Dogs, Kirby Smart, and all the things that went down at SEC Media Days. I always say, for me, this is the start of the college football season once we get through SEC Media Days. And guess what? It finished up today. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.